Hello and thanks for joining us once again for the Inspire, Create, and Shine podcast, where we discuss life, love, literature, and the arts from a Christian perspective. This is your host, Melanie D. from MelanieDTheAuthor.com. Stay tuned for our next episode. Hey y'all, it's Melanie. Just checking in with you for another podcast episode. It's been a while since I've done a movie review, but anyway, so I wanted to give my take and my review on a couple of movies that are out playing in theaters right now. Two very popular movies. One is historical, one is fantastical, but they both have similar themes, and they're both pretty much a African-American cast, which, you know, I love stuff like that, that really highlights Black talent and African-American themed storylines. So the first one we had all been waiting for, I believe it came out on Veterans Day this year, November 11th, if I'm not mistaken, none other than the sequel to the critically acclaimed Black Panther movie. So this one is entitled Black Panther: Wakanda Forever, and it's starring all of the old cast except for our beloved Chadwick Boseman, who passed away last year. And the movie is really like a tribute to him in a lot of ways. Of course, it starts out on a sad note, acknowledging that he is no longer with the Wakanda family. And so a lot of the subject matter centers around that, and it's kind of sad. You know, it's a kind of a sad film to watch, but yet it's also riveting, has a lot of action. It still has, you know, a lot of the African themed visual imagery, culture, the beautiful Black people that are featured, you know, the beautiful skin tones. I just love seeing all of us in our various skin tones, you know, that beautiful Black skin that has sometimes been criticized and said, you know, Black is not beautiful. I mean, you're only beautiful if you're fair skinned, light skinned, white skinned, whatever. So it's beautiful to see all of these various dark shades of Black beauty. I actually agree that dark skin is beautiful. Black people are very diverse, and we have so many different skin tones, and so I just wanted to acknowledge that. And you know, I was proud of this work, and I thought they did a great job. To be honest, when Chadwick Boseman died, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna be as excited if they try to come up with a sequel. Then when I heard that they were doing a sequel, I was like, okay, let's see what they're going to do with it. And I thought they did a pretty good job with this film. It was very interesting. And of course, when you go to see it while it's still pretty popular or pretty early in its showing in theaters, you know, it's pretty, the crowds are pretty large in the theaters, and so it makes it for an even more exciting experience when you're with the group. I know you can stay home and watch it on your television, probably on Netflix or some of those movie outlets on your television, where you can pay, you know, just a steeper price to see it at home. But these kind of films are best seen, in my opinion, in the theater. There are certain movies that I only want to see in the theater. I can watch anything at home or somewhere else, but in the theater, it's nothing like the theater experience for movies like this. Also, it helps with the box office numbers. It helps keep movies like these in the making. So we got to support our Black directors, Black actors out there, and really make our way out, make an extra effort to get out to those theaters so that they'll make more beautiful, powerful works like this. I'm not going to give the storyline away, because I know many of us, or many of you, may not have seen the film already, but I do want to highlight a few things. Anyone who's ever lost a loved one, like they did in this film, Chadwick Boseman, he was the Black Panther. He's like their protector, their king, their ruler. Someone they all admired, looked up to. He was like a source of inspiration, a source of light, power, all of that. And so if you lose someone that important to your family, your country, your people, your culture, it's going to make a big impact. So imagine, what do you do in that situation? You have the queen, his mom, you have his sister, who's this mathematical scientific genius, computer genius and all this. So she's able to create all these magnificent things way ahead of her time, way advanced. So we meet a few new members in the cast. We meet another young lady who's a scientist, African-American genius. We meet another villain slash potential ally, Namor. He is an underwater ruler. Basically, he has a whole society and a culture and a people who live underwater. So we're introduced to this new civilization of people, into this new water world beneath the surface. And so it's interesting to see how they come into play, the dynamics between them versus Wakanda. And so, without telling the story again, you see what they have to do to protect their country, to protect their people, and so forth. But again, back to what I was saying, imagine if your ruler, your protector, your this great source of inspiration, the Black Panther, is killed in your society, or in your society, in your family. It may be a matriarch or a patriarch of the family that you and everyone and your loved ones really look up to, who kind of is the same, is seen in the same way. This powerful figure, this source of inspiration and all of that. And then it's like the rest of the people are scrambling to figure out what to do. How do they survive? what do they do? How do they protect themselves and their people? And so that's where the story opens up on the Black Panther. Listen what I said too. When the Black Panther dies, there is his mom and his sister. And of course they have, you know, the general, I forget her name in the film, Okoye, the general, she's a female, the general and the leader of their armies, the head general. And so a lot, it's showing you too, the power of women. They have men too, because like Mbaka is the leader of the Jabari people in the film. So he's another powerful leader within Wakanda. But it's very much giving, shedding light or highlighting the powerful women in the kingdom and how women have to rise a lot of time and come forth to help a people rise, to help a people carry on in the midst of having lost a great leader, a great male leader among them. So that's amazing. Listen, in the United States right now, we have a male president. We've never in the history of this country, the United States, had a female leader. And there was one point or a few points when we thought it was looking like we were going to have one. You know, one time it looked like Hillary Clinton may have become, had a good chance of becoming president. There was Sarah Palin, who looked like she had a good chance of becoming president. People were alluding to other females who ran for office, and it was like, okay, there's a possibility that maybe they can become president of the United States. And a lot of people said, oh, I would love if Michelle Obama ran, like her husband, and could become president. She's never thrown her hat in the race. Then you think about people like Kamala Harris right now, who's vice president with Joe Biden. It's like, oh, it's a possibility we could have a female leader. And so that would be interesting. We've never had that dynamic in the United States. In the film, it's like Wakanda is the most powerful nation in the world. So it's amazing seeing this. there's a lot of, you know, a few moments where you weren't sure what was going to happen. So I'm not going to allude to anything other than that. But because this is a faith-based podcast, and you know I always look at it from the perspective of a Christian, and what does this say? What kind of what kind of message can you get out of this film from a faith and Christian perspective? So I'm looking at faith. It takes faith in that kind of situation. It takes your belief in something beyond just yourself. You have to believe in yourself, but you also have to believe in a higher power. And so for them in the movie, they were, you know, they believe in the power of their ancestors and their people that came before them. And I think they do also, you know, have some kind of religious beliefs as well. But if you think about that, if you're ever encountered with that kind of situation, and you may be in that kind of situation, like I said, in your family or in your organization or wherever you are right now in your life. And so it's like, what do you do? So you, it's like, to me, you'd have to dig deep into yourself, you know, you know, surround yourself with people who believe in you, positive people around you. Because I noticed that when Chadwick died and you're looking like, who's the leadership now? You have the queen and she's trying to still carry on. And she had some great advisors around her. She had, you know, her daughter around her who was this mathematical, scientific, computer genius. And so she had great people around her. She had positive people around her. She tapped into her her spirituality, you know. She kind of just tapped into all of that. And so, like it is in the Christian faith, when you're encountered with that kind of situation, you just gotta, you know, seek the higher power, which is God. Seek that God strength that's on the inside of you, because we all have it. If you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you, like we do as Christians, you got to tap into that when you get into those trying kinds of situations. And it's no promise that it's going to be easy. It's going to definitely be a challenge. But if you press on, if you believe, if you tap into your faith, because faith, the Bible says that faith can move mountains. So that's like a big mountain when you're in that kind of situation. So your faith is powerful. Your faith is what can get you through all kinds of challenging situations. Now, I said there was more than one film that I wanted to highlight. I might go back to Black Panther, but the other film that I wanted to reference was Till. This is the depiction of the life, or that moment in the life of young Emmett Till back in the, I forget, and I just saw the film recently. I don't even remember what time period that is. I think it was in the 50s or the 60s. When it occurred. But this young boy, we all have heard of him. He allegedly whistled at a white woman, flirted with her, or made a compliment or something to her that was perceived by her as a pass or flirtation. And so she gets offended and she basically calls the dogs in, so to speak, to get him for what he did. And so we know the story. He was brutally attacked, beat beyond the point of recognition, where you couldn't even recognize him by his face. His face was beat into a pulp. He was shot in the head. And I'm sorry if this, I know it's kind of horrific to say, but this is what happened. This is a true story. Historically, this actually happened. And it shows the hatred that can reside in a person, just how far hate can make someone go. Hate it for the color of your skin. So that's why I highlighted in the beginning about Wakanda. These beautiful black people, they're dark skin. I mean, really dark skin in this film. And it shows how beautiful. They're on the big screen where you can see every blemish, everything. And these women in this film, dark skin, men as well, men and women with this dark, rich melanin in their skin. It just shows black is beautiful. You should not be judged by the color of your skin. So back to Till. This young boy, because he's an African American and a proud African American, who his mom had raised to be bold, not to be fearful, even though she tried to warn him to kind of, you know, subdue that a little bit, bring it down a little bit when you're in the South, because she knew just how bad racism in the South was. So she tried to warn her son about, you know, this society of people that he's not aware of. He was kind of sheltered. He hadn't really experienced just how big a deal this was in the South. And so we know the story. Like I say, he was beaten to the beyond the point of recognition. His body was broken. They tied a cotton gin around his neck, so he would sink to the bottom of the ocean. I'm sorry, to the bottom of the river. Just mutilated. I think they pulled all his teeth out. I think they cut off limbs. I think they did a lot of stuff to him. They just basically brutalized this young boy. And can you imagine? This is a little boy. He's not yet a man. I know 14 to 16 back then kind of was almost perceived like you were an adult. Because I know like some people in my family got married at 16. They were considered like adults at 16. So he was close to that age. But to me, and especially in our society today, 14-year-olds is still considered like a child. You know, you haven't arrived in the world. You're still learning who you are. You're nowhere near knowing fully who you are. You're nowhere near experiencing a full life. And so just to think that these men, grown men, because of their hatred and their feeling of superiority, that someone may have said something potentially, possibly, not even confirmed, out of line to one of their prized possessions, their white women. Now, that's not to say that you shouldn't value your women, but they took it a step too far. They looked at themselves from the standpoint of superiority, white supremacy. And we know white supremacy has birthed some of the most heinous and horrific and hate-filled organizations that there ever was, including the KKK, Ku Klux Klan, and other organizations that we've heard about. Hate is what fueled Hitler and caused him to kill millions of Jews all those years ago. We know that horrific story, that the brutality and the evil that was allowed to manifest and to exist and to continue on during his lifetime. Like, how can you legally and with approval kill millions of innocent people because you thought that they were not a pure race? You thought your race was supreme. You thought your race was the chosen race and no one else. And any culture that you disapproved of, you had the right to take their lives. Our destinies are in the hand of God, Almighty God. So when you take a life, and taking a life can be in more than just physically shooting them, killing them, killing their body. You can kill a life with your words. You can kill a life with your actions. The Bible says if you hate your brother, he looks at that like murder, assassinating someone. The hatred in your heart is like killing them. So hatred is a big deal. Murder is a big deal. Hitler was a man full of hate. The Ku Klux Klan was an organization full of hate, fueled by white supremacy. So this young boy in Teal, we see the story unfolding. What his home life was, you know, his grandmother, his mother, the men in his life, what his life was, his cousins, his family, where he came from, what his thought life was, and what brought him to that point, that fateful day when he was taken out of his aunt and uncle's home and dragged out into the middle of the night and brutalized. And then I want to highlight the woman. Her name was Danielle Deadwaller, I believe. She is the mother who was featured, Mamie Till Mobley. She goes down in history as this powerful young woman who had their son. And when she saw just how badly her son was brutalized, she made the powerful decision to not just tell the world what they did, but to have an open casket so the entire world could see with their own eyes just how ugly hate was among the white supremacy culture during that time. Like, she believed that if she did that, it would make a powerful statement and show them just how ugly and just what could happen when that kind of hatred was not checked. And so the young lady who's playing the part now, you may remember her from what's that movie I mentioned a while back, The Harder They Fall, starring Idris Elba. I think the young man he was playing opposite was Jonathan Majors, Regina King, and a few other. It's like an all-star black cast. I love them. She was the young lady in the movie, in the crew, with the other gang opposite Idris Elba. You know, the good side of the gang, or the good guys. And there was a part where her leader asked her, "You know, you're gonna have to put this dress on when I come in here and help me rob this bank." And so, if you remember, if you saw that movie, you know who I'm talking about. So I was looking at her in that, and, you know, I remembered her from that film. But then when I saw her in Till, she played the mom in Till. And I couldn't believe the great contrast of her character in The Harder They Fall versus her character in Till. I mean, if I didn't know that was her, I would have never thought in a million years that she could play a role like that. She nailed this role. I mean, her emotion was palpable. It was tangible. It's like it struck a chord in your gut. And I'm trying my best in the theater not to like break down and cry. That's how powerful it was. I'm fighting the tears. It was so moving, so authentic, so believable. It's like you could feel this gut-wrenching pain of this mom. You know, she spoke differently in this film. She carried herself differently in this film. The level of her emotion in this film was unbelievable. I've never seen her act that well before. You know, it's almost like Oscar worthy, the way she portrayed this mother in mourning. And so imagine losing your only child under those horrific circumstances. And so yet again, just like in Wakanda, it's like, how do you recover? How do you bounce back? And so it's like a fire was lit under her when she saw what she saw. It's like, does this kind of evil, does this kind of hatred truly exist? People need to see this. They've got to see it. They've got to see it. Because when you see, sometimes you don't even think hatred like that exists. You can't even see yourself in the mirror, that this is the kind of hatred that your race is carrying. This is the kind of hatred that's allowed to exist among you until you are faced with it in the raw, unfiltered, uncut rawness. And so she chose to show his broken, bruised body in that casket for the entire nation to see. And the tragedy is that through all her pain and all her efforts and her, you know, aligning with, I believe, the NAACP and even Medgar Evers and his family and other civil rights leaders during that time, and the fight that they made and the constant progress that they looked like they were making, it raised the awareness to let people really see the heart of our nation, the United States. It let us see, this is what we approve of. This is what we have allowed. This is what we can no longer stand for. The tragedy is that not only was his life taken, not only did they fight tooth and nail to make a difference and change those laws and get some justice, the men who did that crime were charged, because a lot of times that stuff happens and those people never come into court. They're never even dealt with when they do those crimes, because it's like it's no big deal. But because of her fight and the fight of those who were working with her, those men were at least charged, at the bare minimum, charged with the crime. Now, the bad thing is that they never served time. They got to live the rest of their lives as free men. Can you imagine that? Someone to do something that horrific to your child, and you're allowed to live, you're allowed to go on with your life like nothing happened, and the mom has got to deal with the pain and the anger and the whatever that comes with that. You know, like you can't even move on almost in your life because of just the devastation of that happening to you and your child. And the woman who allegedly, you know, said that he made a pass at her, she also was never charged. She never was punished. And I think, what was her name? Carolyn something. She, I think it came out recently. Somebody had tried to track her down and discovered that she was still alive. She basically ruined an entire family's life. She ruined a young boy's life and his destiny. But then again, God used this young boy's death as a catalyst. So people say, why does God allow things like this to happen? It's tragic, definitely. But had it not been for this happening, some anti-lynching laws would have never come to light. It would have never outlawed lynching, I believe, just this year, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, in response to the horrific act that was done against Emmett Till, they actually made in March, what is it, March of this year, actually, the president signed into law the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, which makes lynching a federal hate crime. So listen, it looked like she wasn't making no progress. It looked like that no good came of this. And it's a shame that it took all of these years later. Like I said, this was in the 60s. Here we are, 2022. This is 60 years later. And segregation has been over a long time. It's got rid of slavery, got rid of Jim Crow. It got rid of a lot of those terrible laws where black people couldn't vote. All that stuff got abolished, annihilated, moved out of the way. But then you look at, this is 2022. Not 1972, 82, 92. This is 2022, and they're just now signing into law the Emmett Till Anti-Lynching Act, which makes lynching a federal hate crime. Like, what did it take for you to see that this crime should never have been allowed? It should have been outlawed a long time ago, not just now. So this bill was signed just this year. More than a century after this law was proposed, President Biden is the one who declares it a federal hate crime. And it actually sets a prison term of up to 30 years for someone who does commit a lynching act. It's a shame that it took so long, but I'm still grateful. But again, think about that, the themes of both of these films. And then let me tell you, definitely go to the movies to see them. Bring your tissues to Till. Wakanda, get your groups together. You know, go all out if you want to, wear your African garb, you know, go all out, whatever you got to do. It's definitely something worth seeing in the theaters. Till is definitely something that'll open your eyes. It's going to enrage you a little bit. It might make you tear up a little bit like it did for me. But it's just going to show you the power in not giving up. The power in rising up when injustices are done against you, against your loved ones. It shows that with faith and with determination, you can overcome. You can get through really tough, painful, challenging situations. It shows that when it looks like you're not making a difference, when it looks like painful things are setting you back, just continue on. So you could be grieving and mourning and carrying on, and you want to just kind of sometimes wallow in that place of sadness or whatever's going on. Because I couldn't imagine being in Emmett Till's mom's situation. That is, oh my God, that is unbelievable, indescribable pain. And so you're like, how do you pull yourself up from something like that? There's passion, there's pain, there's power, there's purpose. There was purpose in what they did to change the whole trajectory and their focus of what they were after in life, in Wakanda as well as in Till. Changed their whole focus. All of their passion, all of their fire, their love and everything was focused on this one thing. And if you go see the movies, you'll see what the end result will be. Oh, that's another thing I wanted to mention. I'm talking about faith, fortitude, determination, all that. But you know, I'm always talking about love. I always got to bring it back to God. I always got to bring it back to love. That's another thing I wanted to say. Love was a driving force. I know there was anger, But underneath all of that anger, all of them tears, all of that depression, all of that stuff, underneath all of that, there was love. The power of love to make you fight, the power of love to give you strength and insurmountable or seemingly insurmountable odds. Love was a factor. Even the general, she loved Chadwick, the Black Panther, to the degree that she was willing to give her own life and put her own life at risk repeatedly, where she stood even against her husband. And I don't recommend that, but I'm just saying, we don't want to fight against our husbands for the sake of somebody else like that. But it just shows the passion. Love is a passion. It's a fire. It's a force to be reckoned with like no other force. Like rage is something else. Anger is something else. Fear even. Those things fuel you. Pain is a big motivator. But I'm telling you, nothing like love. Pain mixed with love, mixed with faith, which mixed with just your inner strength that God has given you. All of those things is power. It's like dynamite, like explosive power. So that's a theme that I saw definitely in both of these films. Like, I was amazed. Like, what is keeping this woman going? What is making her fight? What is making her stand? What is making Wakanda carry on like they know in the midst of all this? I mean, being attacked on every hand, being, you know, overcome with your emotions, but something kept them going. And so I look at it now, I'm like, it's faith, it's determination, it's willpower, it's that inner God strength, it's love though, on top of it all. Because like y'all know, I always say there's nothing more powerful than love. That's the most powerful force in the world. Why? Because God is love. And so when you see these women doing that, these men fighting like they're fighting, going hard in these films, love is definitely a factor. Okay, y'all, I'm going a little bit too long, but I just wanted to say my piece. I also wanted to point out the contrast between the movie Wakanda and the movie Till, how the various people in each movie chose to fight. They both had different approaches to how they used the love that they felt and the passion that they felt to fight their battles. So Wakanda, if you know, of course, they have all these armies and these soldiers, you know, warriors. So Wakanda was known to fight physically. I mean, they had some political power as well, but they also primarily fought physically. You know, they did seek spiritual guidance and they did that kind of thing. But when it came to fighting, their primary source and method of fighting was physically. On the contrary, or in contrast, until the mom whose son was killed and brutalized, instead of her getting up there and, you know, going to war with those white supremacists physically, or trying to go after them with a gun or weaponry or something, physical weapons, she went to organizations and bodies of people so she could seek justice through other channels, other means. She also used the media, the power of the media to show, like I said, to show the pictures that showed how her son was killed, so that those people could feel and sense and see exactly what she was feeling and what those people were capable of who could do such a terrible thing to her son. So she chose nonviolence. So she used her mouth to speak against injustices. So she spoke against what was happening and what did occur. And then she spoke for organizations like the NAACP, and she spoke in favor of changing those laws and going after those who think that they are above the law. So she chose her voice, the power of her voice, the power of the media. And she didn't do it to just abuse the powers of the media like some people do today. Some people get on, you know, on television, on the media, whatever, and they just say all kinds of craziness because people believe whatever they see on the media. She actually used and civil rights efforts and civil rights leaders to help get her message out there to the masses of people. So two very different approaches, but they both proved to be effective. So it's like the wheels are moving slow. And sometimes we get impatient and we can't wait for certain things to happen. It looks like it's not changing, but God is always working things out for our good. So just stay in faith, continue to operate in love. He will definitely turn things around and make all things work together for your good. If it's not good, then he's not done. Period. Get out there to the movie theaters. Support these black films. Because it makes it easier for them to continue to make films like these. You know, films that make us proud of our culture. To show us the strength of our people. The genius of our people. You know, that's the kind of films I want to share with my family. That's the kind of films I want children to know that it exists. These are our people. This is where we come from. This is who we are. Powerful people. Loving people. Beautiful people. All right, so make sure you get out to the theaters. I don't know how much longer they're going to be in theaters, but get to see Till, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I'm such a fan. I'm a fan of Marvel films anyway. I love Marvel films, but the Black Panther sold me day one when I saw the first one. I was like, okay, I'm a fan. So definitely Wakanda Forever. I'm definitely a fan forever, unless they do something crazy. But right now, I'm a fan. I love it. Love what they represent. So yeah, take your family, take your friends, go see it. All right, I will talk to you all later. Have a beautiful, blessed, and productive day. Till next time, bye-bye. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, please hit me up at MelanieDTheAuthor@yahoo.com. That's Melanie D, the letter D, TheAuthor@yahoo.com, or on my website at www.MelanieDTheAuthor.com. Thank you so much for listening. Have a beautiful and blessed day.